It's The Takeaway. I'm Shamita Basu. As college and university campuses around the country remain closed due to COVID-19, Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos released new rules this month around campus sexual assault. These new rules establish a more narrow definition of sexual harassment and require schools to allow direct cross-examination of victims. Many advocacy organizations are unsurprisingly concerned about the impact this will have on survivors coming forward. They say these new rules allow schools to use a standard of evidence that might favor those accused of sexual harassment or assault. I spoke about this with Sage Carson, a sexual assault survivor and a manager at Know Your Nine, a project for empowering students to end gender violence in schools. And I spoke to Anna North, a senior reporter at Vox, where she covers gender issues. The new rules define sexual harassment as unwelcome conduct that is so severe, pervasive, and objectively offensive that it denies a person access to the school's education program or activity. I first asked Anna how that definition will change things for students.
So what a lot of folks say that would mean is that really a student would have to feel that they're forced out of something in their education in order to really have a case under Title IX. They would have to feel that they couldn't go to class because they were being forced to go to class with their rapist, or they could no longer stay in their dorm because someone that had assaulted them lived there. They'd have to say that their education had been severely and pervasively impacted in this way.
So if a high school student goes to their principal or goes to their Title IX coordinator and says, I'm experiencing harassment, the school could say it's not bad enough and turn them away. That's extremely concerning because we know that many folks, when they seek out for help the first time and they're turned away, will never seek out help again.
And the new rules also change the standards for evidence. Can you explain what's different now?
So under the Obama era guidelines, the schools were required to use a standard called the preponderance of the evidence standard when adjudicating sexual harassment and assault cases. And that standard basically means that the accused person would be found responsible if the evidence showed it was more likely than not that the violation occurred. Now, under the new guidelines, schools may use that standard, but they may also use a standard called clear and convincing evidence. That standard is generally seen to be more favorable to the accused student.
Also, it says that it has to effectively deny someone access to education. So that would mean that someone would have to drop out of class or school entirely before a school can take action. The purpose of Title IX is that students are able to continue their education even if they experience gender violence. It's meant to be preventative. What this rule would require is for students' educations to already be detrimentally impacted before a school ever takes action.
You experienced sexual assault during college, and you've said that if these new rules had been in place at that time, your case would have been handled very differently.
I experienced sexual assault my sophomore year of college. I was assaulted at an off-campus apartment after attending an off-campus party. I had been fed drinks by my abuser, who was very aware that the more and more intoxicated I was, the more likely it would be that they'd be able to assault me. I was taken to an off-campus apartment and was assaulted there. Following my assault, I was really unable to succeed in school. I was in a really, really small department at my school, and so was my rapist. So that meant that anytime I walked into the single building that all of our classes were in, I was forced to see him. So I really stopped attending classes. I stopped participating in activities related to my education and stopped really leaving my apartment at all. My scholarship that allowed me to attend school as a low-income student was also tied to my participation in that department. So while my grades were falling, I was unable to transfer because I couldn't get funding to go to another school with how low my grades had dropped, and I really saw no other options besides dropping out of school. I was lucky enough to be in contact with a campus advocate who helped me file a formal report and helped me seek support from my institution. I should say that DeVos's current rules allow schools and actually require schools to dismiss cases of sexual violence that occur outside of a university program or activity.
So off-campus housing as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So what this means is that schools would be required to dismiss cases of sexual assault that happen at off-campus parties, off-campus housing, and also outside of the U.S. So that means violence that happens in study abroad programs or possibly international travel that schools would go on together. This also does include unmarked fraternity houses. So while the department says that they are not allowing fraternities to be excluded from this provision, actually, if a school doesn't recognize the fraternity or doesn't recognize the fraternity house, they could never be punished by the school for committing sexual violence in them. Mm.
One of the new rules requires schools to hold live hearings where direct cross-examination would be allowed. And Sage, you actually did face cross-examination when you accused your assaulter. I mean, what did that mean for you?
Yeah, when I was a student and I reported my assault to my school, I was told 2 days before our hearing that I was going to be going through cross-examination by my rapist. And because of that, I dropped my case. I've gotten a lot of pushback when I've talked about that by folks that have said, well, if you were telling the truth, why would you be scared to be questioned about it in the first place? And I was not scared of the questions that would be asked, more that the only thing that I could really remember about the assault, what my rapist said the entire time. And I was terrified to hear their voice again. Mm. It gave me nightmares, it gave me panic attacks, and stopped me from going to class because I was scared to simply hear their voice. And so I dropped my case because I would rather have, you know, not move forward with it at all than had to go through that process. And I've talked to many other survivors who feel the same way. Cross-examination can happen through neutral third parties, where both parties pose questions to a neutral third party. They decide what questions are appropriate and then ask them to both parties. What DeVos's rule requires, that many courts don't require of due process in school, is that both parties question each other through the representative. And DeVos's rule does not put any limitations on who can be the representative for each party besides that either cannot represent themselves. This means that a survivor could be questioned by their rapist, parent, fraternity brother, friend, or new partner, which could be an extremely traumatizing process and also leads itself open to being very harassing in nature. I've talked to many survivors who, when they named their rapist and reported to their school, their rapist collected statements from their fraternity brothers about how they were a great man and they would never have done this. DeVos's new rule would now allow rapists to bring their friends into examination to question survivors and their witnesses as well.
Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos has said in a statement, too many students have lost access to their education because their school inadequately responded when a student filed a complaint of sexual harassment or sexual assault. Anna, has DeVos been pushed on that claim? Do we know how many students in the United States have been expelled or banned from their universities or colleges due to a sexual harassment disciplinary process?
So something I found really interesting about that statement is that it's actually not clear that it applies only to accused students. If you look at it, she's saying that they have lost access to their education because their school inadequately responded when a student filed a complaint. Now, the point of Title IX is to prevent people from losing access to their education because of harassment. So she may be trying to thread the needle and in that statement say, you know, that students may have lost access to their education because they reported harassment or assault, but their school mishandled that claim. And certainly we have heard from many survivors who say exactly that.
This is Sage. I just wanted to add that one study found that about a third of survivors drop out of school after experiencing sexual violence. So we do know that a large majority of survivors leave school because of the violence that they experience. While there isn't nationwide data on how many students have been punished because of sexual misconduct accusations, a good place that I always look is the University of Michigan, who publishes the outcomes of their reports and investigations every year. And one of their reports showed that there were over 200 reports to the school of sexual violence. And of that, only one student was expelled for sexual violence.
Many college and university campuses are closed right now due to the pandemic, and this rule has sort of quietly been enacted. Does school or campus closures have anything to do with that? Is there anything to this timing, do you think, Sage?
Yeah, I think that the department itself showed what it thinks of its own rule by releasing it during a global pandemic when schools are in crisis. These rules were proposed 2 years ago. They were originally supposed to come out last fall, and they are now chosen to be released in the middle of a pandemic. I would say that Know Your Nine sent a letter to over 500 university administrators and Title IX coordinators because we heard from survivors across the country that their Title IX coordinators were either not responding to their questions about what school closures would mean for their case or for the academic accommodations that they were receiving under Title IX, mm-hmm. that their Title IX coordinators were ignoring them or delaying their cases indefinitely until they returned to school. And so Know Your Nine sent out resources for schools to know how to better respond to sexual misconduct during remote learning and how they could continue carrying out cases. Schools have been begging for months for further guidance on how they should be handling school closures, how they should be supporting students right now, and how they should be handling Title IX. But DeVos has largely failed to respond to them and provide them the resources that they need to do right by students right now, and instead is prioritizing rolling back the rights of student survivors instead of providing them protections that they need right now to continue their education.
Sage Carson is a sexual assault survivor and a manager at Know Your Nine, and Anna North is a senior reporter at Vox. Thank you both very much.
Thanks so much.